All right. Well, why do Australians find New Zealand accents so funny? Is that I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm like, do New Zealanders hear Australians and laugh? And do Canadians listen to Americans and laugh? Are there dialects in Britain where they find each other humorous? Because maybe it's just me, but whenever I hear New Zealanders say sex instead of six and fush and chups instead of fish and chips, there's something in me that just giggles a bit. Is there something going on there that leads to it being somewhat humorous?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, what triggers these reactions towards an accent. It's got nothing to do with the sounds themselves. There's nothing intrinsically comical about vowels raising, for example, which is what's happening in New Zealand English. So it's underpinned by, again, social aspects, and it is curious why some accents seem beautiful to us and some seem unpleasant sounding. Why I go weak at the knees with the Irish accent, for example.
Which one?
Well, indeed, that's right. All of them, actually. Yes, those that have the sort of Celtic under feature.
Oh, man, I remember listening to The Corrs when they were singing and getting interviewed, and I'd just be like, my God, that accent is amazing. But it was weird. It was almost gendered. Like, it was, for me, it was the women who had the Irish accent. I found that very attractive, but the guys sounded a bit effeminate, and I was like, ooh. But Scottish men, you'd be like, yes, that's like tough, you know, the Glaswegian accent. But on women, you'd be like, whoa, that's a bit too much. So
So there are associations. You associate it with a certain place or a certain, that then becomes, you know, the symbol for toughness or whatever, you know. And some people love that kind of accent. You know, if the Birmingham accent I love too, but some people find it, you know, that maybe they associate it with the, I don't know, industrial part of the UK or something like that. And whereas they prefer those accents, they associate with picturesque, rural, quaint villages, that does more for them. It's very hard to, you know, it's very personal what sort of connotations accents acquire for people over time.
Well, it's very interesting, right, Australia versus the UK, because we obviously had so many different pockets of people come over here and they formed this kind of homogenous dialect over a vast continent. But you go to Great Britain and it seems like you walk 20 miles and you're in another village with a completely different accent. Mm-hmm. Even today, what's maintaining that kind of diversity in a day and age where we're so connected?
Yeah, they are being levelled out to a certain extent, but the fact that English in Australia is so remarkably uniform in a country which is quite massive, really, when you think about how English is spread all over the place, that has something to do with that original melting pot and the fact that the settlement was pretty quick, and also you got mini melting pots. So as soon as you got regional differences happening or emerging, because they will emerge, then you got more, you know, influx into the gold fields or the, you know, the boom in pastoral, in sheep shearing industry. More people come, more levelling, more uniformity. And you think that English hasn't been here that long, not long in terms of language change. Differences are now happening. If you think of the certain vowel sounds that are changing in Australia. So in Melbourne, Melbourne might be pronounced as Malbourne. People talk about the celery-salary merger. So that vowel in before celery and the vowel before salary in that first vowel.
My wife would say, they're both the same. They're both the same.
Well, for some speakers, they are. For some, speakers, shell and shall are homophones. Ellen and Alan causes terrible problems for people with that name. So interesting things happening to vowels before L's. But, you know, once upon a time, Australian English was moving in the same direction as New Zealand English. So there was the great Antipodean vowel shift happening.
Yes, because it seems that we were joined, right? New Zealand was part of New South Wales for, you know, I don't know exactly, but decades at least after colonisation, but then it got annexed or whatever and became its own country. And they did. Has their accent evolved as quickly as Australian English as well, just on a sort of similar
trajectory? Yeah, so they're diverging now, which is what you'd expect. So languages don't have to change in the same way when they're in different parts of the world, because there will then be these other factors. You know, the sort of language, well, the Maori is a big part of New Zealand English, and Maori English is having quite an influence on New Zealand English. And there's that trajectory I mentioned of the great vowel shift. So the New Zealand vowels are rising, just as in the Great English Vowel Shift that you mentioned earlier, the one between kind of Chaucer and Shakespeare. vowels rise more usually than they fall, although, you know, I'm not a phonetician, so but I'm pretty sure that's the case. However, our vowels over here tend to be dropping. So when you hear, when I hear students say a word like dress, it sounds a little bit more like drass.
Dress, drass. Yeah.
It almost rhymes with crass.